Yo, what's up, DJ L Spade? Common Knowledge Podcast. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. Today, man, I got a very special guest. My guy, I kind of know this guy like all my life, technically. And he's going to actually give a rebuttal to my GOAT talk. Now, yo, first let me give his accolades. This guy is a basketball coach for high school. This guy has also played semi-pro basketball. He's been around basketball his life and is currently training his sons, which will be in the NBA or some lower league. And he just so happened to be my brother. That last part really ain't important. I just had to get that part out first to let you know that he knows what he's talking about. I mean, I can't, you know. That being said, man, I got Coach Nolan Johnson. I'm sorry, I also forgot to mention he's part of the greatest fraternity ever and the greatest chapter of the greatest ever. Kappa Omicron chapter, Phi Beta Sigma, Blue Phi. Just had to throw that out there.
You know.
All right, man. So you heard my take on the GOAT and how I thought LeBron is undoubtedly the GOAT. What did you think about that, though?
Well, like I said, I felt like you had a lot of points that was correct. You hit on a lot of great things. You know, I'm a big LeBron fan, but I'm also a big Michael Jordan fan. Now, this is coming from a guy that's favorite player is Scottie Pippen, actually. But you had a lot of great points, you know. But this is the thing, though, with LeBron. When you say LeBron, you know, he was blessed to be a man child, you know, 6'8", 240 initially coming out of high school.
Facts.
Came out averaging 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, it looks amazing. But he couldn't shoot a lick at the time. And I remember talking to some people like, man, my concern is that he's not a good shooter. And I didn't say great. I said good, meaning that can you be consistent at the mid-range, stop and pop, you know, screen and roll, catch and shoot. And definitely we wouldn't worry about no three-ball. Three-ball suck. So my concerns was, you know, when the athleticism started to leave and everything else, you can't dunk on folks, do all that crazy stuff. What happens then? Well, he's a gifted passer, and he, of course, went through all his career scoring major points without being a scorer. But this is the thing and the knock on LeBron. Now, little LeBron, you know, he didn't really start developing a mindset of killer instincts and mentality until he got with Kobe in the Olympics. You know, so you remember, I don't know if you remember back in the day when they had the little dolls or whatever, LeBron and Kobe dolls for Nike commercials. You remember them?
Man, I do not remember.
So you remember the Penny Hardaway doll?
I do remember the Penny.
So Nike was doing commercials with LeBron and Kobe about who was the greatest, and they was like little dolls. You better look them up, man, I'm telling you. So at that time, Kobe's greatness was dominant. LeBron was getting there, but he still had killer instincts. So they both was in the Olympics. So LeBron started piggybacking off Kobe, trying to be dominant, understanding how to ISO, understanding Kobe's footwork, which Kobe learned from Olajuwon. So he learned from some greats, but he also learned from Michael Jordan. And now, when you talk about Kobe, the killer instincts was coming from Michael Jordan. You know, so basically, without MJ being in the equation for LeBron, he had to learn killer instincts and mindset and about body preparation from Kobe that came from Michael Jordan. You understand?
All right, man. But look, I'm just gonna ask you: how important are the killer instincts? Okay, like look, man, you know me. Mm. I can't hoop a lick. Yeah. Pick me after the white boys.
Right.
Like seriously, I'm garbage. Yeah. I admit that. Like I am the epitome of Eric Snow.
Right.
I may
can
throw some defense. Foul you a couple times. That's my season. I'm gonna get down. Ain't no need to lie on this podcast. I'm garbage. But I feel like if you're a pro player, how important is the killer instinct to playing?
Yeah. Yeah. Killer instinct is everything as far as becoming great. And that don't mean you gotta be a killer in scoring. You gotta be a killer in something to cross over to that next level. You see, you got a lot of people that can play. You got a lot of people that are super athletic. Maybe they learned skills early on as a kid. Maybe they was blessed with the height, the physicality. But even that, if you don't have the mental stamina to become great, because it takes a lot of work. And I'm talking about not just working out, training. It takes a lot of wear and tear from your family, you know, wife, kids. You're gone all the time. You train 3 times a day. you know, you're putting your body through the rigor. You got to make sure all your doctor appointments, your cold therapy, chiropractic if you need it. Like, you got to put a lot of things in place to keep your body going and then continue to develop the mindset to be in attack mode and for whatever you do. So prime example, Michael Jordan, killer instinct, hands down, I'm going to dominate, I'm going to do you. No problem at all. Jason Kidd, I'm going to do you on the assist.
Man, I love that
guy. You know what I'm saying? Court vision, I'm going to be the best. I know I'm not the best athlete. I'm not the quickest guy. I'm not finna dunk on you. But what I can do is pick you off the court vision, being smarter than you, and be able to be effective. That's a killer instinct. That's a mindset. And so all the greats have that. So you look at Kobe, you know, killer instinct, mindset, gotta have it. LeBron, he had the killer instinct on the playmaking ability, but the scoring killer instinct didn't come until he started getting with Kobe. Once again, they came from Michael Jordan. When you look at killer instinct and mindset, it's pivotal. You know, I teach my sons the same thing now. And so Jamari Jackson, got to put him out there because he has it, been working with him so long ago that he understands you're a short player. He's 5'10", 165 now. You know, I was a short player. At 5'6", listed at 5'7", you know, you got to have a killer instinct to score on 6'6", 6'8" dudes or be effective, faster, work hard. It took a lot of wear and tear on my body to be able to blow past folks, to jump over folks, to you know, become the mid-range assassin. I mean, it takes a lot. It's a mindset. You don't do it without some type of killer instinct and a strong mind and with the mentals. You just don't do it.
All right, man. So just to put a bow on this, am I right or am I wrong? is LeBron better than MJ? Am I right or am I wrong? It's okay, man. You ain't never held punches.
Well, so overall, we're talking about just basketball alone. Basic skills, killer instinct, mindset. Now, if you look at the career, okay, so LeBron is not better than Michael Jordan. But
hey, come on.
But he's not better. When you're talking about initially coming in, the assassin, doing what you do, lockdown defender and everything. But what I'm saying is, LeBron has developed himself into the GOAT. So when you talk about who's naturally, so who's naturally the GOAT, it's a difference. You can't really, it's comparing oranges and apples. You know what I'm saying?
They still fruit, so though. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it is, but different fruit. It's going to do different to the body. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, true. Okay.
Michael Jordan, the original GOAT, he laid out the blueprint and the plan. He did the same thing on the marketability, same thing on the business acumen, same thing on the professionalism, same thing on becoming a billionaire. LeBron wants the same thing. He's built businesses. He done built, you know what I'm saying? He followed the blueprint of Michael Jordan. So you see that if he already got the mindset from Michael Jordan originally, from Kobe, to develop his game to the next level, he got all the business acumen from Michael Jordan. He'll even tell you, man, MJ. You look at all his conversations and interviews, man, well, MJ did it, and I can do it and everything else. So you're learning from him. So now the original main GOAT is Michael Jordan, but the LeBron has developed himself to the GOAT also. So
you know, I see what you did there. I like what you did there. You just drew a line and connected them all three together. That was some real political type ish you did right there. Yo, that was... Hey, man, you need to run for office, bro. See, what we'll do is I'm going to combine everything together. I see what you did there. That's real slick, yo. Like, seriously, I peeped your game, man. Yo, you trying to get endorsements for everybody, ain't you?
Hey, man, got to get in. You know what I'm talking about?
Hey, man, you need to start your own agency, man. That was real slick how you did that, though. See, what happened was he was the GOAT, and then he became the GOAT who made the GOAT.
That's it, man. Hey, man.
I like
step
that.
Step-by-step process, man.
I like that take. Yo, I got you on the line, though, man. I know I ain't going to hold you too long, but I got you on the line. Just about Mike Geiger, Matt Geiger, now the Geiger.
No, I am Matt Geiger.
The Geiger, man.
Matt Geiger, let's go for it. What you get?
Yo, all right, man. Like I was saying, people don't put Iverson in the GOAT category. I think Iverson is one of the greatest players ever, man. Like, dude, first he was listed at 6 feet, man, but he wasn't. He's like 5'11", maybe 5'10". I've seen the guy. Like I saw the guy at the All-Star game in Houston, and I was like, maybe 12 feet away from the guy. I'm like, yo, this dude ain't that much taller than me, bro. Like, right, I'm 5'7" and a half, 5'8" on a good day. I'm like, yo, come on, bro. Like, that ain't 6 feet. I know 6 feet. I don't fault dude 6 feet. Bro, you ain't 6 feet.
Right, right.
So, I mean, for him to do what he
did, 6 feet.
Exactly. I know 6 feet, bro. Like, being, I tell you, man, being 5'7" and a half, 5'8" on a good day is a constant struggle for credibility. And sometimes you're going to have to put them hands on people to be credible. And they always bigger than you. So,
you had to develop the killer instinct, the mindset.
That was survival, yo.
Yeah.
But like, for him to do what he did at that height makes him one of the greatest for me. But like, the knock on him is his team. What do you think about his team that he had when he went to the finals?
Oh, obviously the team was Gabo.
Man, thank you.
He didn't have the supporting cast. He had some folk that could hoop. They specialize in some different things that help. I can't remember the full lineup, but I know if Eric Snow and Aaron McKee were still there, you know, you got defensive guys, bigger bodies that allow Allen Iverson to be the offensive guy. But you know, hands down, the whole lineup, as well as the bench players, and you know how important the bench roles are. He just did not have the supporting cast or help at all, you know. Not to compete for a championship.
Yeah, I pulled up his finals roster right now, man. Like, let's just go over that real quick. His finals roster. Just to put a nice little bow on this, man. Like, all right, this man had... First man, Eric Snow, defensive specialist, but he's booty.
Yeah. Defensive specialist.
Yeah, defensive specialist. Like, dude had lockdown, but like, come on, dog. No offense. Of course, he had Aaron McKee. Iffy. Todd McCullough. That's a name you forgot.
Todd McCullough. Yeah, good old Todd.
Good old George Lynch. Yeah. Washed up Tony Kukoc. Because he was washed that time.
Tony was there.
Yeah, he was washed. Yeah, he was washed.
Yeah, best years behind him.
Yeah, Tyrone Hill. Do what you will with that.
Ugly man.
do what you will with that. Theo Ratcliffe. Theo Ratcliffe, man. Remember that guy? He was
blue. Who's that person you broke up?
Oh, Theo Ratcliffe.
I'll finna mention Theo Ratcliffe. Shot blocker, decent rebounder. Can't give you nothing on the offensive team.
He was booty. Yeah. Like, bro, that boy couldn't hit a basket if it was like right in front of him, man.
Nah, it was a rough situation for him. It was hard for him in his life.
Rajah Bell was on that team, though.
Who?
Rajah Bell.
Rajah Bell, decent, defender once again, though.
Right. And then the homie, Matt Geiger.
Oh, man, you gotta put Geiger in there.
He was so booty.
Man, garbage.
Matt Geiger was booty, slow.
Slow.
I think dude career average was like 7 points.
Yeah. Boy, the same category as Big Country Reed, remember him?
Man, like, I never seen so much hype for somebody so garbage in my life, bro. I told you about that time, man. Nick Anderson gave me an autograph, right?
Yeah,
when I went to the Grizzlies game, they first came to Memphis and Big Country was the star. Like, yo, this is our attraction, but Jason Williams played for the team because I like Jason Williams. And I asked the man for an autograph,
right?
Then Nick Anderson came out, like, I got you. I'm like, man, get the hell out of here, Nick Anderson.
Yeah, Jason Williams blew you off, huh?
Yeah, man, that was so man.
White Sox,
man, bro. Like, he did.
Get Nick Anderson, the guy that missed the free throw.
Exactly, man. Like, yo, I don't know what that autograph is now. his team was booty. So I'm glad you agreed with me on that, man. Like, I don't think you can hold Iverson accountable for the booty butt cheek team that was around him.
No, not at all. And then he still had all heart and soul, gave grit and grind, gave it everything he had. They put everything on the floor. And you talk about Iverson, you know, once again, mindset, killer instinct to get past anybody that's in front of him. Wasn't the highest shooting percentage, but was highly effective. Still got enough assists, but he wasn't the major playmaker. Mm. Didn't play the greatest defense, but weak side defense was killing. That's why he always still ranked in top three in steals. So, thanks. You're talking about, man, a guy that, once again, 5'10", long arms, 165 pounds, dominant in the NBA, to that magnitude. Oh yeah, that's ghost status.
That's great. Sure. Right, that's great. That's greatness. Yeah. Real talk, man. I don't argue with like Allen Iverson fans. Like seriously, it's three people I don't argue with: Tupac fans, Allen Iverson fans, and Mary J. Blige fans. I don't argue with those people because it ain't about like stats. It's about love. Them folks would kill you, bro.
That's right.
Yeah. They're on a lesser level, Beyonce and Adele fans. I don't argue with them people.
I feel you on that.
Like, nah,
I feel you.
You got it?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you got it. No problem. Yeah, I feel
yeah, man. You right.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody better than Adele. Yeah, you got it, my guy.
Yeah,
before I let you go, man, tell the folks where to find you at, man.
Well, man, look, you can look me up on all the social medias. We do AEA Extreme. If you hashtag AEA Extreme, you can find me. You look up Coach Nolan Johnson, you can find me on YouTube. We got a lot of kids that's developing. And when I say developing, we got kids that are not ranked, that, you know, maybe started basketball late. Maybe they're too chunky, too skinny. People written them off. We take those same kids and develop them into college athletes and then hopefully get them to the professional level. So, yeah, it's a lot to look out for, man. These kids are doing well, performing well, developing quickly. You know, we do so much strength, conditioning, and speed to get them right at the next level. So, man, AEA Extreme, Coach Nolan Johnson, you can look me up, find me anywhere.
Yo, before I let you go, though, man, can you explain exactly what – AEA is, man, like, and what it does, because I like, you are helping kids and I think that's your mission. So can you like break that down a little bit? I don't want to hold you up. I know you got stuff to do, but can you break that down a little bit?
Yeah, so we develop youth, or really student youth athletes, to be able to be the best version of themselves, be able to compete on the highest level of basketball, especially the kids that don't usually get the opportunity. So, you know, basketball these days, and just like how I grew up, if you was too short in the beginning, you got written off already.
Facts.
If you was too skinny or you too fat, you was written off already. So then the kid that has a promise, that loves the game, and he's 10 years old, because he didn't start early at 2-3 years old, or because he didn't have the skill or the height, he gets thrown to the wolves. Mm. And now basketball's not a passion for him no more. You know, he doesn't go to anything else. So we took those same kids and say, hey, you know what? Basketball can be your dream. You can get a college scholarship from it. And for most cases, you can play somewhere still. It doesn't matter your height. If we can build your mindset, build your skill, basketball acumen, and then build your strength, quickness, and speed, and build it up to something that's going to be marketable to high schools, AAU programs, and colleges on out, you can still play. So that's my whole point. That's the whole motto, man. Build these kids up. They usually don't get the opportunity. And next thing you know, they're playing college ball.
Yo, like you installing confidence in like in the forgotten. And that's one thing. Yo, I ain't gonna drop too much background knowledge where we grew up at, but we didn't grow up in a good area, right?
No,
like,
yo,
like it was few outlets for people to get out of what we got out of. Like, and I'm not like I said, I'm not trying to make this a sad story or anything like that.
Right.
Or you're a story sad, of it's sad. Yo. I was there. It's super sad. It points, like, I don't want to seem like, you know, we just the world overcomers, but I think you did just break out something that everybody needs to know, because it ain't a lot of options for people. And if this can open up the doors for your kids to get college educations and expose them to something. Look, man, the greatest thing that happened to my life was when you personally was like, I was at the house. You probably remember this. I was at the house. I just had got back from basic training from the Army. Mm-hmm. And I was just there. And you probably remember that you came in and you was like, yo, what you doing? I was like, man, I don't know what my next step going to be. And you was like, yo, don't you get the GI Bill? I was like, yeah. Man, why don't you just go to school? Because if you go to college, at least you have something, you're getting paid while you're in there, and you have a little time to figure out what you want to do in life. And dead ass, my life didn't expand until I went to college. Like, I never thought myself going to college until you said something. Like, I actually like, yo, I don't know. Because college was like a hustle for me in the beginning. It wasn't like something I was going to do long term. It was like, yo, I can do 1 or 2 years here until I figure out, like, what the next step going to be. Like, you know?
Right.
But it turns out when I went to college, dog, my whole life and views opened up. So, like, I Once again, I credit you for saving my life on that end. Like, seriously.
Oh, well. Well, that means a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, no, man. It's just true. So if you can do the same thing for some kids who are forgotten, like, yo, maybe at 5'8", you're not going to go pro. Maybe. Mm-hmm. You can, because anything's possible, right? But right, if you can just get those kids into an atmosphere that's different and show them, because I always thought I was weird, man. Like, I thought I was weird, didn't fit in nowhere until I went to college. I'm like, oh, yo, everybody think this way. It ain't just me.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man, this is a whole bunch of weirdos here. So, yeah, man, I think that's beautiful that you're doing that, man.
Well, yeah, let me say this too real quick first, because you brought up a good point. You know, most kids struggle with the transition of coming out of high school and their initial 4 years. Same thing with NBA players. If you go to high school, you know, you need that college development, at least give you a chance to learn who you are. So you don't know who you are at 18 years old. You don't have a clue. You know, now you might think you do at the time, 18, 21. 21, you don't know nothing. You know, 25, you just start realizing, oh, you know what, I actually kind of like this in life. You know, Barely. So you go to college and you get all the college experiences. You got different organizations and groups to be a part of, different educational courses. You may realize you're tapping to another field or industry that you didn't even know about. That becomes a true attraction for you. So you really learn who you are. So most of the kids now, especially through sports, the ones that still want an opportunity and to get to school free, at least money paid on it, because you know you got so many schools and programs that at least will pay some type of scholarship. Sometimes you can't get the full ride. Maybe academically, you know, it's so challenging there that you can't get the full ride. So at least you can play ball. Doesn't matter if it's on the JV team, Division III, Division II, NAIA. It doesn't matter. JUCO, you know, you can get to school free. So now you're not coming out of school with debt, liabilities, and you're getting some type of education and experience to broaden your horizons. And then it's a blessing, man. And that's how you start to discover who you really are as a human. So, and that's the end game. That's the goal, you know. So, yeah, man, I'm in, you know, Memphis, Tennessee. Like I said, AEA Extreme. The company is actually called Analytically Extreme Athletics. That's what AEA stands for.
But why did you choose that name, though? Why did you choose that name?
Well, you know, you think about it, man. You have to be beyond the smarts to get past your obstacles. So when you analytically think, you start to analyze your situation. You start to build your mindset up to be the best player or the best person that you can be. So
we need an organ in the background. This man preaching.
But analytically, then you got extreme athletics. Well, you got to be or perform at an extreme level. Therefore, you're going to have to train at an extreme level. So the speed, the strength training, the verticality, even being limber. You know, we had martial arts and a lot of the athletics because it helped me tremendously. So it helped them as well, being more limber and flexible. And the mind.
I had them hands growing up.
Yeah, got to have
Still
got them. So, yeah, man, so you got to be extreme. And, of course, athletics. So that's why I chose the name because it's building kids up quickly. So think about a kid that's 3-4 years behind. Well, we can ramp up 3 years behind in 1 year. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to think smart, develop quickly, and you got to be extreme and prepare for extreme athletics to prepare at an extreme level.
Man, facts. Like, seriously, man, we need an organ, man, a choir. You tambourines, because you were spitting, man. That was a message.
Hey, you crazy.
If I could just help one.
If I could just help one, if I could just help one, maybe that one can help one. We're moving forward.
If I can hit somebody as I pass alone, it won't be in vain.
No, it won't be in vain, man. It won't be in vain. Hey, but check this out, though. Everybody need to be on the lookout, not just for AEA Extreme, but AEA Global Sports.
Oh,
so,
global?
Yeah, we have Global Sports. So we got the basketball agency working where we help the same kids that develop and then end up getting them to college and then also train them in the off season in college to help them go pro. So we representing the same kids. We're keeping a family situation. Yeah, we invite others, but we expanding the reach. So we can have more kids that really was in an unserved community. Now, all of a sudden playing overseas, being experienced, different sides of life, different states and other basketball pro leagues, and really get that experience early, man, to build up the total player for their life, that benefit their family and kids, as well as their basketball skills. So, man, we all about, man, building, man. Building.
You know, you broke down something right there that I think is important to touch on. And that is leaving your current situation. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you don't know how far you can go until you leave. And I'm speaking from personal experience. Like,
right.
Getting out of that whole area for me, like, even like, I'm in Japan right now. So getting out helped me way more than staying ever would, you know? And, expanding these kids' horizon, man. Like, it's people, you grow as a person, you know, me right. being bilingual right. and just learning stuff that I never would have learned and just experience stuff helps me. And I like it that you're taking those same kids that were forgotten and giving them that's a right. chance or opportunity. That's all you need is a chance or an opportunity, man. It's not saying you're gonna do it, but you need the opportunity to at least go. And if you can go yep. like have a that's proof right. of career in Japan or somewhere in the Euro League or anything, man, that that's is it. just great. And it can build, it can be the foundation to build. Cause like, look, I think we put too much stock in money as people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that cultural experience that you can pass on to the next generation can lead to more, like, more wealth and more opportunities. That's right. Cause that's what it's all about, man. Like, a lot of folks ain't got a network or a chain that can start. And how do you build your network? Well, you ain't gonna build your network being around the same people in the same spot. That ain't gonna help.
Right.
So,
nah, get these kids out.
Yeah. So I like that, man. Like, seriously, man.
That's what it is, man. And then the NBA started in the States. And what happened? It became global, right? It's hugely global.
Facts.
You got Toyota, where it started in Japan. Is it not mm-hmm. global? We're getting Toyota cars all day long, right? Lexus, facts. And everything else, right? All the industry factories, is it not global? Already dealing with global markets. So why can't the kid, the adult, the whatever become global? You gotta have a global mindset, man, to expand the horizons. That's just real.
Mm. All right. This guy right here.
That's it.
He's still ugly though. I'm just throwing that out there.
Hey, I'll take it, man. Ugly and knowledgeable.
I see what this guy did to me, dog. Yo, why I got you all, man? Like I said, why I got you all? You, is there any question that you want to ask your little brother while you got me all?
Hey, man, no, not necessarily questions, but I just want to commend you, man, on your efforts. You know, this is a great podcast, you know, a great show. You're going to touch on a lot of great content and concepts that's going to benefit a lot of people, man. So I just commend your efforts, man. Continue to do good work. I'm proud of you.
Oh, man, I'm talking about, man. That's all I was waiting on. I mean, okay. No, it took 40 years. yo, I take it now. Hell.
Take it how you can get it.
Bro, any way I can get it, man, I would take it, dog. Yeah.
That's
as
it,
as I reach my golden years, man, like, yo, I'm not going to lie, dog. Like, 2021, I'm leaning into my oldness, bro. I'm like, yo, I'm washed up out here in these streets. Like, yo. I mean, I had a good run, but I'm washed up. so
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's time to transition to a wise old sage, man. Like, let me teach you young bastard something.
That's it. Something. Yeah, let me teach you something.
Yeah, something, man. Like, it ain't about me no more. It's about y'all. And I think that's what you're doing, and you're doing a good job at it, man.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. So that's my brother, Coach Nolan Johnson. You can catch him at, one more time,
AEA Extreme. That's on all social media, or Coach Nolan Johnson on YouTube. Look us up, man. We're doing some things.
Man, blessings, man. Thank you, bro.
All right, take care, man.